Welcome to the Harris & Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, from the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. I preach here at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and that's where we're broadcasting from, Studio 4, in the Hillcrest building right here in Stephenville, Texas. And we have with us also our good friend and great helper, Frank Briscoe. He's running the board tonight again, and he's a wealth of information, and we can always use Frank around to help us make sure that we cover all the bases. Tonight we're going to have a great program for you, I do believe, because this is one of the reasons that we're on the radio program. People in the religious world are confused. And they are confused because of people that call themselves pastors and preachers and priests and prophets who make statements and can't back them up with any kind of biblical authority. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at an article that was written in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. A fellow by the name of Max Brennan wrote the article, and it's I would dare say that the article is blasphemous, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But first of all, we need to give a few bits and pieces of where we are broadcasting. We broadcast out of KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, and this, by the way, is a live radio program. And we do encourage each and every one of you to pick up the phone and call us. I'll give you the number in just a moment. But also we have KNNK 100.5 in FM at Hereford, Texas. We broadcast out of KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, and the GospelRadioNetwork.org. We have an additional station tonight that is going to pick up and start playing our radio programs, and it's called the GospelPlaylist.org, and it is out of Oklahoma, and I'm not real sure just exactly what time we broadcast out of there.
7 p.m. on Tuesday.
Okay, 7 p.m. on Tuesday, and we also have a rebroadcast of this program tonight. Is it not on Tuesday as well?
7 a.m. on Tuesday.
Okay, 7 a.m. On Tuesday, and that will be on the Gospel Radio Network. There are a lot of ways that you can participate here. We have this thing figured out where you can put it on your iPhone or your smartphone and just go to the app there and put in harrisonmoore.org and you can listen to it. The motto that we want everybody to remember of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is this: you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. This is the one reason that we are on the air. It is to correct error. It is to help people understand what the Bible has to say. You ask a Bible question, we're going to give you a Bible answer. You can get on the email, and you can go to questions@harrisonmoore.org, and that will go to my email. It'll go to Tom's email. You can also get on the GospelRadioNetwork.org, and there is a chat box there. And if you'll get into the chat box, then you can ask questions. You don't have to speak to us publicly and verbally on the phone. Yet that is exactly what we would like to hear from you. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855, and then spell out Q as in questions, A as in answers, B-I-B-L-E. That would be the greatest way to do it. It will help enhance this program. This program is your radio program. You got a question, you got a comment that you want to make, we would love to put you on the air. Just give us your first name. We won't direct anybody into your house. We just want your first name so we know how to call you. We do have some sponsors on this radio program, and thank goodness for that. The Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas. The De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas. The Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas. the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and that is located out there on Tin Top Road, 4839 Tin Top Road. And then we have the Santo Church of Christ, which is just 2 miles north of I-20 on Highway 4. And all of these are marvelous sponsors, and we want to thank them immensely for jumping in and helping us with our program. As I mentioned just a moment ago, we have a program tonight that is going to be directed at one particular individual. I mean, he's got the guts to write something like this in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and with no rebuttal. And we want to give a rebuttal for what he has to say here, because what he writes in this article is erroneous as it can be. And we ask the question, Tom and Frank and all you that are listening, why are people confused in Christianity? And the answer is because of people like this who keep throwing out error out there and have no backup for their error, no biblical backup for sure. These are just errors that they dream up, and they want to make it some kind of a popular thing to make people want to come and visit with them. Now, we did a little program here several months ago, I do believe, and we mentioned the Red Letter Edition. Now, there are a lot of people, and I think that we brought this up a couple of months ago. There are a lot of people that actually believe that the only thing that is actually valuable, the only thing that counts in your Bible, are the words of Jesus only. And sometimes you can buy this Red Letter Edition of the Bible, and for people who honestly believe that kind of stuff, well, they don't have to read anything but the red letters and just roll on, and everything else is just nothing.
You know, David, this same kind of nonsense is really what Max Brenham is setting forth in this article that he wrote there in the Fort Worth Star on January the 12th of this year. And let me read, the article's not very long. I'm going to read most of it to you. He says, you know, one of my projects for 2015 is to help people love the Bible more dearly and read it more clearly. And that's going to be kind of a strange comment coming from him, as we'll see from these other things he says. But going on with the article, it says, in St. Matthew, at St. Matthew, we recently purchased more than enough pew Bibles for everyone who comes to the door on Sunday mornings to have one in hand during the service if they so desire. It is important for us to read the Bible. It is the greatest of all books. Now, I'm quoting the article now. But it makes a difference how we read it. I used to be an English teacher. I taught reading skills. I need some reading skills, or we need reading skills in reading the Bible. First of all, we must avoid fundamentalism. We must avoid the strange idea that the Bible is inerrant, that every passage must agree with every other passage, and that all Scripture is of equal authority. He continues, Jesus deliberately and forcefully disagreed with several Old Testament passages. And when we read the Bible, Jesus also gets the final word. The Bible is the church's authority in faith and practice, but there is an authority within the Bible. That's Jesus. If the Old Testament says an eye for an eye, and Jesus says, in effect, forget that, we must go to Jesus. You know, David, really, you know, we talk a lot about the so-called red letter Christians. You know, in reality, David, as you mentioned just a moment ago, this is exactly what this so-called pastor, this so-called preacher, and of course he's nothing but a false teacher, mm-hmm. He's propagating the idea that all a person has to do is read the red letters in their Bible, and that's their only authority. Well, that's going to be bad for me, David, because my Bible doesn't have red letters. so I don't have to abide by anything, right?
No. If that is the honest truth, but you know, even when you talk about it, this is how ludicrous it is. When the Bible was put together, it wasn't put together with red letters anywhere. You know, it was a script. It was a scroll. And somebody took it on themselves to put a red letter edition in there to show you what the words of Jesus are. Now, there are a lot of people that have taken it from there and just run wide open with it. And I believe, and if any of you know the name of this song out there, there is a country western song that sings about the letters in red and how valuable and only worthy they are. And what the problem is we have some people that are looking for the gospel in a country song instead of looking for the gospel in the Word of God.
Now remember the number to call tonight if you'd like to get in on the discussion. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're going to talk about one of the reasons why people are so confused in Christianity. And it comes from people like this so-called preacher Max Brenham, who is claiming in this article that we don't have to listen to anything else in the Bible other than the actual words of Jesus. Now, mm-hmm. The actual words of Jesus, which in most Bibles, or a great majority of the Bible, are in red letter. When we begin to look at this article, David, he's got several errors there. And first of all, error number one, he says, and I quote, "It is important for us to read the Bible. It is the greatest book of all books, but it makes a difference how we read it." Now, at first look, that sounds like a good statement.
Yeah.
But when you look at that statement in light of what else he's saying throughout the article, we know that he's making an erroneous statement there.
Well, basically what he is saying here is he wants his readers to believe that the entire Bible is not inerrant, but filled with errors. And so it's got to be read with the errors in mind before one can come to understand it. And that's the proposition that he's making here. And yet we have scripture after scripture after scripture given to us by Jesus himself that will disprove this very same thing that he is trying to tell us here. He's trying to tell us this without any kind of backup. Where does he get this kind of information?
Well, he thinks it up, evidently.
No doubt.
It's not from the Bible. You know, when we think about the idea of him wanting his readers to believe that the entire Bible is not inerrant, that is not without error, he's telling me you've got to read the Bible knowing that there are certain errors and contradictions in it.
Right.
That's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not talking about knowing how to distinguish between Old Testament and New Testament and figurative and literal language. He's talking about distinguishing between what is true in the Bible and what is false in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
What is a contradiction in the Bible and what is not. That's what his statement's all about.
Yeah.
And that's wrong.
No, it's just as wrong as it can be. And Jesus will prove him wrong, Tom. And for those of you who have your Bibles handy, I would encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. And while you're turning there, I want to remind you again of the telephone number. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. If you have a problem with what we're saying, please contact us. If you want to quiz us more about what we're having to say here, we're just reading it as we get it. This is what the Fort Worth Star-Telegram printed. Max Brenham claims that he's a pastor from the St. Matthew United Methodist Church, and this is going to give him authority to say things like this about God's Word and the errors that are in God's Word and how we ought to handle it. But this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. He says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all of the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear.
Now, Jesus there is talking about John the Baptist and how that the Old Testament prophesied of the fact that he was to come through the prophet Elijah. He was the antitype. Mm-hmm. And he said, Jesus says, you need to be listening to the Old Testament. Well, if we listen to this old Max fella here, we ought not to be paying any attention to the Old Testament. In reality, we ought not to be paying attention to anything from Acts to Revelation or from Malachi back to Genesis, because all that's really important are the red letters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Well, listen to this in Luke chapter 24. Just before the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven, he gathered up his apostles one more time in Luke chapter 24. And in verse number 44, he reminds them of the importance of the Old Testament. And he says to them in verse number 44, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Red letters. Oh, big red letters. Everything has got to be fulfilled in that Old Testament, in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning him. Now, that doesn't leave anything out of the Old Testament. That leaves everything in the Old Testament, and it's got to be fulfilled, or none of this makes any sense or logic at all.
You know, David, he said that we should love the Bible more clearly, that it is an important book, and that it is the greatest of all books. And yet, in this article that we're going to be looking at further in just a moment, he says that the Bible contains errors, contains contradictions. Mm-hmm. And Jesus even contradicted and spoke against other parts of the Old Testament.
Right.
Now, if that's true, how can we say that the Bible is to be loved and that the Bible is the greatest book of all books if it's full of errors?
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've got a lot of interesting comments that are coming up over on the chat box, and I don't know if we can get around to all of them. But rest assured, guys, you people that are writing in on the chat box, it looks like you're reading our outline here concerning what we're about to dig into to refute this blasphemous article that is written by this man called Max Brennan. This is not the first time that we've dealt with this man. We dealt with him a couple of years ago on something similar, but not quite this bad.
You know, Carol on the chat box says, Jesus is part of the Godhead. The Bible is inspired through God, who is also a part of the Godhead. Does that not then say that all the Bible is the word of Jesus?
Amen.
You know, that's just basic logic.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easy for us to understand, but some people take pride in trying to twist the scriptures to their own destruction. And that's exactly what's going on here.
And people that are religiously minded, that are looking for the truth, they'll read things like this from a fellow that calls himself clergy versus laity.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a good background, foundational background in the scriptures. And they believe this thing, and then they get so confused. I doubt seriously that very many people understand what the Godhead is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three are divine in nature. All three are divinity. And God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and the Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Every one of them are persons.
You know,
one is just as much a person as the other.
This Max Brennan, David, is not very far from the oneness Pentecostals,
yeah,
who believe in Jesus only. They don't believe in the Father, the Holy Spirit, only Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's not far from this. Now, remember, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking tonight about why people are confused in Christianity, and one of the reasons is because of men like Max Brenham, who writes these horrible, blasphemous articles. And in this article, the first error that we looked at was he says it's important for us to read the Bible. It's the greatest book of all books, but it makes a difference how we read it. Now, again, that statement by itself is not wrong, but when you put it in context with what else he says here, we see that what he's stating there is very wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The second error that we're going to be looking at, and which shows why the first error is so bad, is this. His next quote is this. First of all, we must avoid fundamentalism. We must avoid that strange idea that the Bible is inerrant, that every passage must agree with every other passage, and that all Scripture is of equal authority. You know, David, this is really where many people get confused and really get turned off to religion. When you have somebody who's out there who claims to be a preacher, who claims to be religious, and says that the Bible is not inerrant. Now, a lot of people may not have heard of that word inerrant, David. What exactly is that word inerrant?
Well, inerrant means free from error.
Mm-hmm.
And it also means that when you look at the inerrancy of the Bible, that there are no contradictions in the Bible. But how many times have you tried to have a Bible study with somebody and they'll throw up their hands immediately and say, well, I don't really care to talk about the Bible because it's full of contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
I said, name me one.
Yeah.
They can't name you one. But they've heard somebody say, that it's full of contradictions and there is errancy throughout the book and they're going to live with that.
You know, and this guy here, who claims to be some great English teacher, who claims to be some religious scholar, makes a claim of the Bible being full of error, but he did not give any examples.
No, not a one.
He talks about contradictions, but he does not give an example. He says that all don't have the same authority. He gives no examples. He makes an assertion, just like a lot of people out there that you just mentioned. They'll assert to show contempt,
mm-hmm.
but make no real accurate claims.
Well, and again, he calls it a strange idea that somebody might have that says that there is no inerrancy in the Bible. He calls that a strange idea.
You just look at the surface of that thought, David. God, the Almighty Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are perfect. They are without flaw. They are without error. Do we not think that since the Bible is from them, that they could produce something without error?
No, absolutely no doubt about that ever. And you see, this is where the religious world gets confused and the Word of God gets disregarded because now we got a man over here, and he's not alone in this. There are many just like him. They are saying that there are errors, there are contradictions. And yet, why in the world, even one of our chat box people has asked the question, why in the world would you want to read a book that was full of errors and full of contradictions and then say you love the book?
And then, you know, really the authors of the book then are liars,
mm-hmm.
because the book says it's from God.
Right.
If it's full of errors and contradictions, it cannot be from God.
Right.
So why would you want to read a book full of lies?
Okay, well, let's give the proof on this.
Well, look in your Bibles there at 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, notice what inspiration says. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. Every scripture inspired of God.
That includes everything all the way back to the book of Genesis and Genesis chapter 1, and all the way through Revelation chapter 22 in the New Testament. Every single scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is God breathed.
And that's the meaning of inspiration, theopneustos. Literally, God breathed. That's one of the few times the NIV got it right.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, but that, did we have the very breath of God here?
Yeah.
So are we expecting it to have error and contradiction?
We should not. And you know, God's word itself is making the claim. It's its own best proof here. And when God's word says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that means complete, thoroughly furnished, and we know what that means, unto every good work. Now, that's what the Bible claims that it says. Now, either that's true or it's false, and if it is false, then you can throw the whole Bible away. You can do just exactly what Max Brennan says that you need to do.
Exactly.
You know, he made the claim, and Tom pointed out a moment ago, that while he made the statement that the Bible does have error, but he gave no example, I think that we see that the truth of the matter is that the error in the Bible is the places that disagrees with him,
yeah,
or with which he disagrees.
I'll amen that one for sure.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're talking about why so many people are confused about Christianity and maybe even get turned off to Christianity. It's because of many people like this preacher who preaches for the Baptist Church up in the Fort Worth, Arlington area.
Methodist Church.
Or the Methodist Church. What did I say?
Baptist.
Okay, the Methodist Church, who preached, who wrote this article, who says that God's Word really is full of errors, and that the only thing we ought to be listening to are really the words of Christ, the red letters. And when he talks about here in this area, he talks about how we should avoid fundamentalism. Now, we might just mention that for a moment, David. What does he mean by that?
Well, obviously, he doesn't mean what fundamentalism truly is, because fundamentalism are the fundamentals of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
They are the groundwork. They are the foundation of the gospel. These fundamental principles that God gives us throughout the Bible, from one end to the other. And we look at these fundamental principles, and this is what everything else is based on.
So he's saying, if you believe that the Bible is inerrant, and that the Bible does not contradict, and that the Bible has authority in all of its aspects, then he says you are a fundamentalist, and that you are in error.
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
But he's wrong.
And he's calling this a strange idea. A strange idea.
Well, the only thing that's strange about this is him. Now, I'm going to have to say, so I just can't pass it up, David.
Okay.
In his article, he was talking about some TV show, he said. And he said, as he was looking at this TV show, he was saying something to the effect that he thought was a bad show and everything. He says, I guess I am an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, you are, Mr. Brenham, by saying the things you're saying right here about God's holy word.
Mm-hmm.
You are that very person. You are a man who is showing blasphemy against the word of God, and you need to stop this kind of stuff, because it's shedding bad light on the word of God. It's giving people a bad taste toward Christianity. My friend, you are wrong. And you need to stop what you're doing right now.
Now, this strange idea concept that he has, that the Bible is inerrant. The God's Word itself makes the claim, as we have already mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, makes the claim that there is no error, that it is profitable, that it is God-breathed. And then we can go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we'll find again that the Bible is making the claim. And by the way, this would be the Holy Spirit through the writer, through the penman. And this, in this case, it will be Peter. The Holy Spirit, through inspiration, giving Peter the words to write. And here's what he says in verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And so the knowledge of him, Jesus the Christ, is calling us to glory and virtue. And we have been given everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Now, everything that pertains unto life and godliness will not be in error. God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be godly. He's not going to make an erroneous judgment in this case. He wants us to live a life of faithfulness to the Word of God, to the Word of Jesus Christ. And he's not going to tell us this in error so that we will make errors as we go through life and we try to be the godly person that he would have us to be.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, his major premise throughout this whole article is that we should listen to Jesus and him only. Well, look in your Bibles with me tonight in John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, beginning verse 13, here's what Jesus said. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he, that is the Holy Spirit, shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall not take of mine, and shall for he shall take of mine, and declare unto you all things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he taketh of mine, and shall declare it unto you. Now, David, here Jesus is talking about how the Holy Spirit is going to come to the apostles and was going to inspire them to speak, later on to write the words of God. Notice the progression Jesus says. The words of the Father are mine. The Holy Spirit speaks my words. He's going to give my words to the apostles. The apostles are going to write down my words. So how does that play in to everything we've been talking about?
Well,
today?
It is the apostles' doctrine because Jesus has handed it off to them. In John chapter 16, if Max Brennan knew what was going on here, Jesus has gathered his apostles up and beginning in chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, he is preparing them for his departure from this earth, to ascend up into heaven. And when he is ascended up into heaven, he is no longer going to speak directly to the people, but the apostles, armed and given they're guardians of the word, they have been given the words by the Holy Spirit that came from the Father, that came from Jesus the Christ. And if you see the concept here, just like Carol said earlier, Jesus is part of that Godhead.
So if you were to look at the Bible, would you say it would be a fair statement to say that from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, that is the word of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely.
And so who is this guy to say that we're only to listen to the words of Jesus? And he's using in terms of the red letters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The guy's just flat out confused or deceitful. I'm not sure what his problem is, but what he's speaking here is falsehood.
And blasphemous.
Yes.
You know, blasting the fame of the Holy Spirit, blasting the fame of the Word of God, that is blasphemy, and there's no recourse here. When you get to the point where you will blaspheme the Word of God, you'll do anything.
You know, we just got through reading that passage in John about how Jesus says the Holy Spirit was going to direct the apostles in the truth, the words of Jesus. Well, look at Acts 2, verse 42. These same apostles, whom the Holy Spirit inspired, giving them the words of Jesus, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. What the apostles were teaching here was what?
The apostles' doctrine.
Which was?
Jesus' word.
Exactly. And so how can he get off saying that we are not to pay much attention to, or any attention to, the epistles, just the red letters? Now, he never mentions red letters, but that's exactly what he's talking about.
Sure he is. Sure he is. We have another quote that he has here. He says, all scripture is not of equal value. Now, that is a bold, bold statement, because 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now, this guy is saying all scripture is not of equal value. Talk about that for a minute, Tom.
You know, who is the guy who determines what is equal value? You know, we think about, some people say, well, these passages are more important than other passages. And I always ask them, well, who told you that? Where is the passage in the Bible that says this one is more important than this one, where the red letters are more important than the black letters? And again, I mentioned my Bible don't have any red letters, and so I'm in trouble. Who told you that? You know, if it's in the Bible, it's important. It's now, we realize that there are some differences in Old Testament and New Testament requirements, but one thing has never changed, right, David? And what is that?
The righteousness principles of God.
They are always the same from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. That never changes.
No.
And that's always the word of Christ.
Now, we have an interesting question here on the chat box. I'm going to read the question, Tom, and you can go first. Marty writes, so, how do you respond to the, quote, popular Christian teachers who say that those of us who call them out as false teachers and heretics are not as learned, that we have not studied enough or know God enough to be able to disagree and slander them?
Well, first of all, did they not also, when Jesus condemned them, what did they do to Jesus? I think Jesus probably knows more about his doctrine than other people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they're doing here is an argument that they do in debate a lot. Instead of addressing the issue, they try to make you think that you are unlearned. You know, did they not accuse the apostles of being ignorant and unlearned?
Yeah, Galileans.
Yeah.
How in the world could they know what they knew,
let me,
the Sanhedrin court knew?
Yeah. Let me put this in there, too. A lot of people think that if you don't have a PhD or if you don't have a degree in Bible or religious literature or something like that, that you are incapable of understanding the Bible. You know, we all, and that's what they, one of the arguments they use with regard to evolution. When people say, well, all the smart people believe in evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe in evolution, so you're not one of the smart people.
Right.
The same thing happens in religion also. You know, the Bible is written so the common man can understand it. And I think sometimes, David, we get so smart that we get too smart for our britches.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible can be understood. And don't give me this fact. You know, we've got some people who broke off from us in Hamilton, and they claim to be higher learned than we are in the Scriptures. You would follow us if you were as scriptural as we are and all that stuff. That's nothing but a bunch of hogwash.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to use God's Word as evidence, and you can prove. And don't let people cow you down because they say, well, you're just not as learned as I am. And when you're as learned as I am, you can be as versed in the Scriptures as I am.
Well, does this not go back to our motto? You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's listen to what the Bible has to say. And Denny on the chat box gives a wonderful answer, answering with Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. How do we contradict those people that are learned? And he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom he be praise and dominion forever and ever. What a wonderful answer that one is. Frank?
You know, this is not something that's new. And the statement that Marty made concerning how do you respond, you know, by the time of the closing of the writing of the New Testament, you had what was called Gnosticism. Mm-hmm. Individuals that said, we've got more knowledge than you, and we've got a special knowledge or a special understanding, and would try to get people to simply turn away from the Word of God to something different.
You know, sometimes people rely on these so-called PhDs instead of relying upon truth and logic that comes from the Scriptures. You know, after all, PhDs, that stands for post-hole digger, don't it?
I believe that's right.
You know, I'm not opposed to higher learning. I think there's a lot of good that comes from that. But you don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have a master's. You don't have to have a bachelor's. You don't even have to have a high school education to understand the Bible.
Right.
If you will learn it and read it and be honest with it, you can understand what the Scriptures have to say.
A very good question, Marty, and I'm so glad that you put that in there. Now, I want to get back to this thing that he said: all Scripture is not of equal value. And so, looking at that erroneous and blasphemous statement, Mr. Brennan and a multitude of others just like him simply do not understand how the Bible is put together. And it doesn't matter whether they have a PhD or not. They don't understand how the Bible is put together. And my question, Tom, is who makes that decision to say that one Scripture is not as valuable as another Scripture?
Only man can make that distinction.
Right.
God will not make that distinction. You know, when we think about this idea, you know, we've already determined that the value of every Scripture, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, mm-hmm. verses 16 and 17.
All Scripture.
2 Peter 1 and verse 3.
All Scripture.
These are all valuable. And, you know, there might be some who are more valuable to us at a certain time, you know, because of a circumstance we're going into. But in the overall picture, all Scripture mm-hmm. is of value in some way.
And nobody has the right to determine which passage of Scripture is more valuable.
Because there are people
who
are saying, well, that's not really an important passage.
Right.
We'll just ignore that.
Right.
You know, another passage that deals with this is what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Give diligence to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got to do. God has already determined the value of every Scripture. And it's each and every Scripture. And when Jesus was preparing his disciples back over here in John chapter 14, when he was preparing them for his departure, he wanted to remind them again of the importance and the value of inspiration of the word. In chapter 14 in verse number 26, he tells his disciples, his apostles, this. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. Who? The apostles. All things. How many? All of them. And bring these things, all things, into your remembrance, whatsoever I, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, has said unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much more plain can you get than that? And you know, we go around here and we say, well, you know, we've got to pay attention to the red letters. Well, he just got through telling us that he is going to reveal all things to them through the Holy Spirit. And they are going to be able to bring all things into their remembrance. And all of these things are the words of Jesus the Christ, the one with all authority.
Exactly. You think about this idea of things, some are more important than others. You know, in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was first spoken through the Lord, was confirmed also unto us by them that heard? God also bearing them witness with them by signs and wonders and manifold powers by the gift of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." Here the Hebrew writer is talking about not only the words of Jesus, but also the word of the apostles, and we should take the great earnest heed that we don't let any of these things slip from us.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for us. You know, there are some things, perhaps, you know, that we might think are higher on the scale. Let's say, is it more important to give or more important to be baptized for the remission of sins? Well, they're both important, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't do either one of them correctly, could they keep us out of heaven?
Sure they could.
So can we really say that there's one? Can we put these on a list as saying, well, we got the number one most important and number two most important? I don't know that we can really say that, because all of God's words are important. And not only that, things that I might think are more important may not be what you think are more
mm-hmm.
important. What we got to be concerned about is what? What is important to God?
Sure, the authority. And every bit of it is authoritative. Now, we've got about 13 minutes. The number to call, if you want to get in on the conversation, you want to ask a question, we encourage you, pick up the phone and call 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We've got this chat box running like crazy, but I'd like to get through this last error if we can.
Mm-hmm.
And error number three, he says, quote, "Jesus deliberately and forcefully disagreed with several Old Testament passages." What do you say about that, Tom?
I say that's hogwash. That's the Greek word for that.
Yeah.
That's hogwash. You know, matter of fact, when you think about this whole idea, you know, and by the way, when he makes his assertion, he does not give any examples.
None whatsoever. None at all.
And it's like, it's just the old thing. People are always making assertions but never come out with any kind of proof. Well, let me show you what Jesus said. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 5 and verses 17 through 19. And by the way, when Jesus is writing through this chapter 5 and he says, "But I say unto you," what Jesus is doing here is mostly clarifying the Old Testament law and clearing up some misconceptions that people have. But the principles of righteousness, they always remain the same. We've already said that several times
mm-hmm.
today. But notice what Jesus said about the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." Or we might insert, "Think not that I have come to contradict or to put down," as mm-hmm. this fellow says. "I come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be accomplished. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, does that sound like a man, David, who would be involved in disagreeing with Old Testament passages?
No, not at all. You know, every one of these things have got to be fulfilled in order for the New Testament to come to fruition. Every single one of them. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42 is something that people like Max Brennan like to get a hold of. Mm-hmm. And Frank was helping us this with this portion of it right before we started. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 42, this is the teaching on by Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount to eliminate revenge. And as you said just a moment ago, he's clarifying some abuses that the Pharisees were trying to impose as tradition that was equal to the law. But the law of Moses, that law was going to change. It was not only a religious law, but it was also a civil law that these Jews lived under. But the law of Moses is going to change. The principles of righteousness will always remain the same. And Jesus lived his entire life here on this earth without sin. And so if he violated, as he says, he strongly opposed and deliberately opposed the scriptures, forcefully disagreed with several Old Testament scriptures. If that were the case, then Jesus would be a sinful individual.
And we got to remember that Jesus lived under the old law.
Absolutely. And he never violated not one single
part
of it.
And so if he spoke against, if he disagreed with Old Testament passages, then he would be guilty of sin and could not be our Savior. You see, this is where this idea really causes people trouble. Now, we only have a couple of minutes left, David. We need to mention this. This fella, Mr. Brennan, said that we're only supposed to listen to Jesus. Mm-hmm. All of the other things aren't important, just the words of Jesus. Well, the question that I have, David, is how true is he to that statement? How true is the Methodist Church to that statement?
They are not even close to being true to that statement. They make that claim. Yeah, we've got to go by the Bible, all right. And as a matter of fact, his claim in this article is, quote, we must go with Jesus. Jesus gets the final word. Yeah, and there's no one that should disagree with that statement. But the fact of the matter is, the statement that he makes here and his entire article is in disagreement with the Word of God. It is in disagreement with the revealed will of Christ. It is in disagreement with God and the Holy Spirit. And this denomination, the Methodist denomination who he is represented here, I think it's ironic that they voted recently in Denver that anyone could marry, divorce, and remarry for any reason and still not be in violation of Jesus Christ's word and a member in good standing of the Methodist Church. Now, give me an example of a red letter edition of what Jesus says and how that they are violating the very thing that they claim to uphold.
Jesus said in red letters in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication and shall marry another committeth adultery. And he that marrieth her when she is put away committeth adultery. This man claims that we should abide by the words of Jesus, the red letters.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they turn right around and they contradict the words of Jesus by saying that you can divorce for any cause. That was the whole argument through their chapter 19 there. They were asking, can we do it? Jesus says, no, you cannot. Only for fornication, that is the only exception.
And then before he even makes the statement, he says, have you not read?
You know, it's been true under the old law, if you committed a fornication or adultery, you were put to death.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so,
in Genesis chapter 2, he says, have you not read that he that made them from the beginning made them male and female? And for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. These are the words of Jesus making reference all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 when God put the marriage law into effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brought up again in Matthew chapter 19 by Jesus. It's brought up again in Ephesians chapter 5 by Paul. And it's throughout the book just like that. And here we have a man saying that, we've got to let Jesus have the final say. Well, that's the final say.
That's the final say.
That's the final say.
Now, here's to my mind, one of the biggest things that's a flaw to all this. I looked up on their webpage a while ago, the official webpage for the Methodist Church, and they stated that all a person has to do to be saved is to believe in Jesus. But what did Jesus say, David, about salvation?
In John chapter 8 and verse 24, he said, in red letters, by the way, except a man believe that I am he shall die in his sins. Except a man believe that I am he shall die in his sins. And then later, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, he says, he gives the great commission to the apostles right before he ascends into heaven. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all, or go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. These are Jesus' words.
So the people here who claim to say that all you got to do is believe and obey the words of Jesus conveniently ignore the words of Jesus that they don't like.
Exactly.
Is that not really the reason they come up with this argument in the first place? Only the words of Jesus? So they can get away from other the doctrinal issues that Paul and Peter and James talk about in the epistles. They just want to get away from those things. Let's go to Jesus. They think by just obeying Jesus, we're all about love. We're all about compassion.
And so we look at what they believe, and we look at what they say. And what they say and what they believe does not even closely come together here. They ignore the words of Jesus. They ignore, Frank put up a good point here. What about sprinkling? Where's the authority to sprinkle? And this is the reason that we say, you have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. We're appealing to authority. That's all in the world we're doing here.
Exactly.
Appealing
right.
to authority. So Jesus does have the final word. He's right about that.
You know, that's exactly what is said there in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. How much? All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth.
Right.
What they fail to realize is that Jesus has delegated this authority to the apostles and other Bible writers through the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And when you do not understand how the Bible is put together, it doesn't make any difference how you're going to read it according to Max Brennan. Let me read you one more passage of Scripture here in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, verses 8 and 9, talking about Jesus the Christ. He says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author, Jesus, of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Only unto all them that obey him.
That's it. So tonight we've noted that the reason many people are confused about Christianity and maybe even turned off to Christianity and not even willing to study their Bible is because of men like this Mr. Brennan, who's saying that the Bible is full of errors, the Bible contradicts itself, and that we should only abide by the words of Jesus when he himself does not even do what he claims.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we're out of time. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.